All right. How's it going, Thursday Warriors? This is the New Dimension Comics presents the Toddcast. I am John.
And I'm Handsome Tim.
And I'm Average Tim.
And we are here to bring you your weekly dose of comic reviews, pop culture talk, and anything else that we find cool.
But before we do, we need you to like, subscribe, hit the bell, leave some comments, interact with us. We're here for you, but we need you to be here for us too. So, John,
I think you had some stuff. Be here for us.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, firstly, the reason that Tim's Average Tim is beside me is because we're in his house. We are, he's going to help me out at Sci-Fi in the Valley this week down in Altoona. We have a ton of $3 silver there, along with some toys, some board games, some pricey books that I literally just priced on this table we're sitting at that have not been out for sale yet, except for the one book that I offered Handsome Tim that he turned down.
Yes.
So he's not smart Tim, at least.
Oh, burn.
No, I'm not. Well, if you ask my wife, because I didn't spend the money, then yes, I am smart Tim. If you ask me in my comic book collection, then I'm stupid Tim.
I still love you.
Thanks.
So we're here this weekend. And then next Thursday, we have the return of Cosplay Karaoke with some horror theme. So make sure you check that out. And then next weekend is the return of Three Rivers Comic Con Light outside down at the waterfront in the parking lot. Lots of cool comics, comic creators, comic vendors, other vendors, toys, food trucks, convention beer, cosplay, you name it, we have it there. So come check it out. Whether crossing our fingers is good, looks good so far. So yep. Keep your fingers crossed.
It's going to be warm next week, all week.
It will. Starting this Monday, you'll be able to get your early bird ticket at any NDC starting at 10 a.m. And that gets you into the con from 10 to 12. Either day, it's $5 each day. After noon, 12 noon, it is free to the public both days. So just come and check it out. Goes till 7 on Saturday and then 5 on Sunday. Then after that, we'll be kind of hanging out down at Baltimore Comic Con. So just pop in and see us if you catch us. And then really, I think the next thing we have is what? The warehouse sale, I think?
Yeah, in November. Yeah.
So Secret Warehouse sale. So for those of you who were at the very first one we did, where like the whole room was filled with comics, it is almost that amount of books. I was there the other day. There are 200,000 plus just Marvel books set out on two giant islands. It's going to be really awesome, and it'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys come out for that. All right. So I guess we can go on to some comic news. Let me introduce Tim a little more here real quick. To make him feel like part of the team.
Oh, thank you.
So I've known Tim for 21 years last month
21 years.
21 years, that is insane. I've known him longer than some members of my family, so weirdly. Tim and I are great friends. Love this dude to death. He's like my actual brother. This dude got was so him and his wife and his kid during the pandemic decided they're going to build a Star Wars R2 unit. I'm not even kidding. Oh, check this out. This is the dome. Hold on. This is just the dome.
And that's the power.
Oh, okay. So
give us a second here.
See this thing in action. Most of it is 3D printed. And it took him, 10 months?
10 months from start to finish, yeah.
Which is super awesome.
And it's not done yet, but it's going to, slowly upgrade as we go with it.
It's making its first con premiere this weekend at the 501st booth.
Well, he spent his pandemic better than I did.
We got a little Bo-Katan for our kiddo. We call her Boca Kiddo. So that's awesome. That's the other project. I didn't.
Oh, the ear fell off. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Let's just not stop.
It's a great time. I love coming down here and hanging out with these guys. Tim and his entire family are members of the 501st. Some of you may remember him from being on here when we did the 501st special with Zach and Josh as well. So, all right, now we can talk comics.
Yes. Right.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I think, let me see. I think you went first last week, right?
Okay.
I think. So I'll go first. Yeah, I'll go first. Right. If you have it ready.
Yeah, you're going to go in order in which that you sent me them.
Yeah, either way is fine. Yep.
Okay. Bam. By the way, I did not read this book because I knew you were going to.
Yes, I was so excited for this book. I read like the intro and I saw that it didn't have Nick Spencer's name in it. I was like, this book's so good. This book is so good. And I only read it was just the first page. So this is a new era of Spider-Man. It's not a reboot, it's continuation. So all the stuff that happened to Peter Parker happened to him. But this book opens up with him kind of needing some fresh air and going out for a swing to clear his head. And he runs into somebody and you can see him in the back, excuse me. And you know, we know this is probably Ben Reilly. And
I just love that it just actually says, who the bleep is that?
Yeah, like it was like it just totally caught him off guard. This he's right about the swing, and then here comes this guy. He goes something to the effect of, man, it's so great up here, there's nobody up here but me. And then boom, there goes Ben Reilly. So next panel was great too, because he's like, hey, Spider-Verse, get back here. And the whole time this other Spider-Man is just ignoring him, blowing him off. This other Spider-Man gets the best of him with some technology that just kind of makes Peter Parker look a little lame. And later in the issue, you find out that it is Ben Reilly. He meets up, he sees Peter outside. He's like, hey, what's up? They both have this excellent coiffed hair. Ben's a little bit more. The image of them too is kind of in line with what's going on with these characters. The way this is happening right now, Ben, who just showed back up, he's got it together right now. And Peter's life is still a mess. So I thought that was interesting. And I liked the way that Gleason drew that. Mm-hmm. And they sit down and they have a talk. And he tells Peter that he joined this thing called the Beyond Corporation. They bought up all these little pieces of Parker Industries from way back in Slott's run. Including the rights to Spider-Man, because when Doc Ock was Superior Spider-Man, of course he was arrogant enough to trademark the name Spider-Man for Parker Industries. So now this Beyond Corporation technically owns the name of Spider-Man. And he's like, I don't really need you out here. I can do this. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, I wasn't asking. It was just kind of more letting you know that I'm going to be out there. And if you need me, we can team up. So enter the UFOs. And this is kind of, there's a little bit of stuff that happens in between, but I don't want to give all of it away. But the UFOs show up. There's a fight with the UFOs, and Peter shows up and he's like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to stop you guys. And then Ben Reilly's already been on the scene for a while fighting these guys. And he's got some excellent technology that helps to protect him. But doesn't do so much for Peter. And he ends up in a bad state at the end of this book. There's two other mini stories at the end. One is about somebody that approaches the Beyond Corporation because they have cloned Max Dillon and they are working on using this torture method so they could see his memories, which was kind of weird. But the other one that was neat was Ben Reilly shows up when Colleen Wing and the Daughters of the Dragon are cleaning up the streets. And he's like, hey, did you ever hear of the Beyond Corporation? We could use your help. So I'm excited to see what role they play in all this. But overall, the artwork was fantastic and it was a really fun first issue. So I'm excited to see where this goes. Finally, a good Spider-Man book.
I've been waiting so long. Let's get like three issues out.
And then a good Spider-Man issue. I'll correct that.
I'll give you that.
Okay. So.
All right. So my first book is Eternals Celestia. This actually was pretty cool. Because it basically talked about Ajak and how she is connected to the Celestial that died in the Avengers 1 million storyline. Are you familiar with that at all?
A little bit, but yeah, not like, too much, because I don't know a whole ton of the stuff with the Celestials. So.
Yeah, so basically like the Avengers 1 million killed a Celestial in that storyline. And then they hollowed him out and turned him into Avengers Mountain.
Yes. So I just didn't know like too much about which, that's this Celestial here.
That's the one that's not that one, okay. But it's one of the ones that created the Eternals and had a psychic link with Ajak. Ajak's the one you see on the left. So she and Mark Makiri, who is the one on the right, basically go on a journey to find that dead Celestial and see what's going on, because Ajak is very, very set that Celestial like meant more and was like their god and all this stuff. And yes, that actually was that Celestial apparently that died. So then they actually run into they show her running into the Avengers 1 million and actually taking on them back in the day. And like Starbrand like breaks her armor on her head and it just like reforms onto her head. There's a great huge fight scene where like Phoenix and Thor all tackle her. Everybody tries their hand, like Ghost Rider is riding that mammoth and like whips like this. Basically like really long spine around her, rips her in half, and then she just gets reformed again.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the only one she's actually afraid of is Agamotto as the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. So they continue on to present day, and they find the Avengers Mountain and new Ghost Riders in there, Robbie Reyes, and he's like, no, the Celestial said we could live in there, and they're like, you guys are blasphemers, you've hollowed out the body of a Celestial and are living in it, which is kind of crazy when you think about it anyway. And she psychically links up with the Ghost Rider to find out that that is actually true. She just can't believe it is pretty much the deal. And she just says, I can't believe I let the original Avengers live at the end. And that's the end of this issue. And these all lead up to this deviant story with Thanos. So we're going to get Thanos and everything with the Eternals is like, if these are kind of nice, because if you don't really get the Eternals, they're nice to get small doses of them before the movie comes out. So you can kind of understand them a little bit, or at least understand the premise of what the Eternals are. So I definitely recommend checking out. It was a one shot. I thought it was good. So
that's cool.
All right. Book dose for you.
Yeah. I was so excited for this book. I had heard about it. It's basically, it looks like Benedict Wong, the guy that was cast as Wong. He was also in Rick Remender's Deadly Class. So I'm like, he draw it like this. I need it to look like this guy, because he probably wants a show for this. This was really fun. I was excited for it because Deadly Class is ending, you know, Seven to Eternity, I believe, is over. Black Science is over. I'm like, what am I going to read by Rick Remender? So this is a really interesting first issue. You meet this guy, and there's a lot of great artwork at the beginning that kind of just sets up this scene in Vancouver, British Columbia, one of the worst hockey cities in the world.
You're not wrong. Yep.
And they use a lot of just imagery, no text, to just kind of set up what is going on in life. And this character, who throughout the whole first issue, you don't even find out his name. He just keeps kind of running into some bad luck. He is going to go let, you know, these older people on the bus before him. It starts to rain and he gets soaked. He gets off the bus, tries to come back, misses the bus, goes to the grocery store frustrated, because when he tried to get off the bus, it was like he was invisible and people were just rushing on and not letting him out, and he runs into somebody. So there's a lot of stuff setting up that this guy has some kind of, you know, that he's just bad luck or just having a really bad day. And he meets up with this young kid who's sitting there looking at this pigeon that's almost dead. And he doesn't even say anything to this kid. He just kind of looks at him, and the kid goes, "What? Like, I'm supposed to kill it?" He's like, "You know, I thought about like stepping on it, but what if I didn't break its neck? And then I'd have to step on it a couple times. And would that be any less cruel than, you know, taking it and stepping on it the first time?" He's like, "So what? Because I'm the first person here, I'm supposed to do it?" He's like, "No way, man, I'm not doing it." And it was interesting that the kid just kind of like went off without any prompting. This guy gets on the bus, comes back, and when he comes back and just stomps this bird to death, kind of like almost like he's taking control. When he is back on the bus, he's looking at his phone, he's looking at some news that's terrible about sex trafficking, and then he pulls up a GPS where he's apparently supposed to go meet somebody. The bus drops him off, it's night, you see a car that's pulling out of this location. He goes in and he's asking for the person inside, and you hear the teapot kind of screaming in the background. He walks around the corner, and her husband are tied up and were murdered in a pretty terrible fashion. This guy, basically, whoever it was, smashed glass bottles, stabbed them, tortured them by like putting like, you know, shoots through their nails, their toenails, through their fingernails. He took a thing of plumbing, Drano stuff, taped it to this guy's mouth. So he basically had to drink it and couldn't spit it back up. And he doesn't know what to do. And he's like, "Oh shit." And then he just panics, runs out, wipes everything clean, and then runs out of the house. And you just kind of see bloody footprints. And that's where it ends. You get this really cool setup of this guy who barely talks, that he's just, everything is going wrong for him. And you think that like he's taking control again when he steps on this bird, and it just gets a whole lot worse. So really interesting book.
this sounds like something I'm gonna love. I did buy it, I just didn't read it yet.
Yeah.
But this still that you sent as the second set, like the image from it, just it's like Wong just got back and they didn't have the ice cream that he didn't want.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they didn't have the Hoka Hoka burning fudge or whatever.
And it's just like, well, I guess I'm gonna go kill these dudes. Like it's almost like an alternate. It's like this is like the Wong for the Doctor Strange on What If. Like like it's so crazy. But I love it. So
yeah, I think cool. I think you would like it a lot. And cool. Like I said, the artwork was really good and it really sets up the story in the first half where there's really not a lot of talking going on. So
okay, cool. All right, my next book. And Tim's probably going to like this. So this is the Boom Studios Magic number 7. This book is so freaking good. So basically at this point, the Guild Pack, who is Vraska, Kira, and Ralzeric, are hunting down the abbot from the Azorius Guild so that they can stop him because he's bringing on the Merit Liege. And the Merit Liege is this giant alien ice being.
2020 indestructible.
Yes. So like there's this whole thing where the Guild Pack is in a war room and Alaria is like, we're going to do this. And the other Azorius guy's like, no, we're going to do this. And then the three planeswalkers are like, yeah, there's probably a leak somewhere. We should probably just planeswalk out of here. Don't care where. And then just go right into his lair. So that's what they do. Then they also find that that's where they've been keeping the body of Jace Balorin. And the entire plane of Ravnica is starting to be mind controlled to kill each other for the Merit Liege. So while this is going on, they're having a fight with the abbot. And you know, they're totally actually kicking his ass. And all of a sudden, there's some really great fight scenes. And what happens? But swoops down after they save Jace and fucking Niv-Mizzet eats the abbot. So this giant metal dragon
wow.
flies in and just goes chomp. And they're all like, whoa. And it sets it up, but unfortunately they did not stop the actual coming of the Merit Liege. And at the end of it, you actually get to see the comet that is the ice ball that is the Merit Liege. And for people who are into magic, this book is awesome. For people who aren't, if you like high fantasy and you know that kind of storytelling, that kind of insane kind of cool like literal magics like users and things like that, like wizards and stuff, this book's awesome. You don't need to know a lot about Magic the Gathering, but it would help. But it does not fit in the actual lore, like it is outside of the normal lore. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty sweet, but the art is freaking fantastic. Oh, and they keep making jokes about Ralzeric unleashing the storm, which is him like shooting lightning at everybody, because in the last issue they talked about how he like wiped out an entire tavern full of werewolves on Innistrad. So but Boom Studios, yeah, man, like everything they're putting out is great. So
this is like the third time I think you've reviewed this book and you haven't had a bad thing to say about it, and I keep telling the magic players, I'm like, do you guys know about this book? And I have like one or two people that are buying it and I just can't understand why.
And well, I'll say, just for me, I play exclusively Modern.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that comic book existed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know that it exists.
The artwork of there is amazing. To see They see Merit Mage and see Mage Mizzet. Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. Actually,
the graphic novel.
I need to just.
Yeah, the first graphic novel I think is coming out next month. I think, or it's after issue 8. It's one of the two. But there's also like a ton of crazy good variants. Like the cover you saw was cover A. The cover I have with me is cover B. I got an awesome secret Planeswalker variant that's a sketch of Chandra at home. Like, I've bought all the covers because they've just been amazing. And
because nobody's buying it, typically like the 1 in 10s, 25s, like those are all usually pricey. But because no one's buying it, they're going for like $7.99, sometimes less. So maybe I just need to move all of those up to the magic counter.
That might help, although we are stripping issue 1 this week. So,
okay.
But when the graphic novel comes out, maybe order like 2 of them, put them up there. Might be an idea. So, yes, even Ron said the same thing. Let's move it right up to the front of the store. So, it is very good. I really enjoy it. I think Scott's reading it out at the Mills. And I know Lauren's reading it up at Cranberry. And I think Kyle in Ohio are all reading it. Like, so staff is reading the book, but nobody else is reading the book.
Yeah.
It's so good. Damn, so good.
I mean,
so good.
We're not doing our jobs. I'm on it. Handsome Tim to the rescue.
You know, if you were, I think if you were into magic, you'd be a little bit better. But there aren't a lot of, I don't think as a lot of our stores have a lot of magic players that also read comics.
Yeah, Zach's the only one that I can think of.
Yeah. So Brandon Bruder. You should get Brandon Bruder to read it.
Well, we spend all our money on magic cards.
That's true. They spend all their money like that book is the price of a single pack.
Yeah, well, so, and that's not even a Horizons pack. I mean, my God.
Yeah,
it's like a draft pack. Yeah. Come on. It's one draft pack different. So, but I really enjoy it. That book is just so, the art in that book blows me away. Boom Studios, everything they've been touching has been great. Their Buffy series, their Power Rangers stuff, Once in Future. Like just so much good stuff coming out of that, like, I don't think they can do wrong. Like, seriously,
Power Ranger fans are like really picky, which is weird because there's so much bad Power Ranger stuff out there. And I haven't had a single person that's a Power Rangers fan that's bought that was upset. They're taking it like beyond things that you saw in the show. And I think that's what they like about it. There's stuff like with Zordon and like when, you know, he was still alive and he was a ranger and stuff like that. The stuff that I think the movies were probably going to touch on more had they not sucked.
So. You're not wrong. So, but yeah, I definitely
cast.
Yeah. I liked that last one. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
So
it's under the Krispy Kreme. Give me a break.
I mean, let's be fair. The only thing that was actually bad about that was Goldar, really.
Yes.
Being made of actual gold.
Yeah.
One other thing. The Megazord, right? So everybody was in their part, right? So if you're in the shoulder, even though they were connected, and you control that left arm. So if you go like this, you're tilting back. How are you seeing anything? If you kick and you're in the leg, like it used to be that they all came to the center in the chest and had their own controls. So having them all still stay on each like limb was really dumb. And then it was
a little more Voltron-y.
Yeah. But not like good Voltron.
Right. Yeah.
Like the legendary version of Voltron.
Or the classic version of Voltron. Well, the classic Lions version of Voltron.
Yes.
Screw the cars.
No vehicle.
No vehicles.
Yeah. No. And no 2000, the CG one.
Oh, God, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, there was a lot of Voltron that was not super awesome. But I like that Power Rangers movie. Like, I really think that it gets a bad rap. I think that more people should check it out. I think it was good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the worst part was that Goldar was literally like molten gold the whole time.
Yeah. From like really? Necklaces and stuff. She's just like pulling all the necklaces in and making. Right. My God.
All right. So your last book. This is the third time you've done this book too. So, you know, another three-peat.
That's what I got to say about this book, because if you can see the reflection in the glasses, some stuff goes down in Spice Town in this book.
Yeah.
So, Ro, that's her name, she has become very at home with this ghost or whatever this entity is that is in her home now. She is doing all kinds of great paintings, which is great because she went there for that reason, so she could try and find another level to her art. At some point in this book, she talks with her agent. She's like, can you push it back a little bit? She's like, because I've got, this is my best stuff. But you see them now that we've gotten past that second issue where she was a little like apprehensive as what this thing was. Now it's just like, hey, I'm hanging out. Like, I'll put some tea on for you, or here's a glass of wine. Oh, I really like that painting. They're hanging out watching like Love Actually. They're dancing. It's very weird when you see this thing because it has a full body, but its head kind of just is black and fades up into darkness. And yeah, and it's very, very weird. They have a holiday together, and they get each other presents. And he takes her to this room. It's all dark, covers her eyes, gives her a candle, and she opens them, raises the candle up. It's this giant room with just all these amazing paintings that he got for her.
Oh, I totally I totally thought you were gonna be like, it's like the 50 Shades of Grey room. Like,
no.
instead, you get to a giant dot dot dot.
Instead, you get the Dorian Gray room.
Yeah. So it was weird because I'm like, I couldn't tell if they were things that he did, like he took on, like, you know, one of the things that she loves to do, or if he went and stole paintings from, like, you know, famous paintings. That part wasn't clear. And then she's just so like in love with this gift and taken back by what he did. She's like, come here, I want to show you something. And then she goes in the room, her bedroom, and he goes, are you sure? Because you told me this was the one place to never come in. And she's like, stop talking now, dummy. And she's pulling her bra down. And the book stops there. And I'm like, what is going on right now? I have no clue. Like, is this like a part of her? Is this another, like, her darker side that she's getting more in touch with, and this is just supposed to be a metaphor? Or is she like really boning this like Slender Man dude? I have no clue. I'm interested. Like
this whole thing is very faithless-y to me right now.
It is, without the like the graphic content. Like, Faithless was like, hey, here's a BJ, and then congratulations, I just turned into a giant penis monster.
Oh, like, yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
This book's like, maybe that would happen, but they would just talk about it and be like, hey, there's a penis monster in the other room. You would never see it. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's like the PG-13 version of Faithless. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah. No, it's cool. Good book. Yeah, I mean, this is like you said to me, this is the third book you've done, or third time you've done this book, and you haven't had a bad thing to say about it. Oh, the first one, you were a little off. You were a little leery on the first issue.
Yeah, because there wasn't a big setup for it. But there's only five issues, so I figured two more, might as well just do the rest of them.
Yeah, man. No, that's good.
November and December. Yeah.
All right, I'm now going to announce my third book, which has the weirdest title I've had yet
I'm so excited.
For a book on the show. chicken devil.
So I'm so excited to hear about this.
This book is, it's very awkward. So it's about this family in California, and they own a chicken, like a Popeyes type chicken place, like chain, right? And there's this family, and the daughter wants to go to Coachella and whatever. So the dad goes into work and finds that half of the building has burned down, but only half of the building, which has then also destroyed their chicken mascot costume. And he then finds out that his partner most likely set that side of the building on fire, and has also been smuggling heroin in their chicken.
Doesn't sound familiar at all,
right? And they and if it does sound familiar to you, they even totally say they did this better in Breaking Bad. Oh, and they went, no, that was meth, this is heroin. So the mob shows up, beats the crap out of the guy. The guy takes his family to this yacht to like boat thing to like be like, just get out of town, I gotta get some stuff, I gotta go. And while they're driving there, their little kid is like, dad, why are you wearing a devil's hat? And he just keeps being annoying, and eventually he's like, dude, it's basically like the Jersey Devils, but it doesn't say the New Jersey Devils, it just says Devils. But he's talking about the New Jersey Devil myth, right?
Yeah.
So talks his family into getting onto this thing, and he's like, I gotta go back and get some stuff. And he watches the boat explode. Family's dead. Everything's gone. Crazy. Dude's freaking out. Goes to see his mom, who's in prison already. Is like, how did you deal with all this stuff? She's like, you just don't care. You can't really care. It just goes all over the place. And eventually he decides he's going to go into the, he's going to go and get the rest of the heroin, but he's going to wear the chicken mask to do it and hold up the place if he needs to. So he walks in with the chicken mask. The guy's like, they keep it in a locker in a gym. And the guy at the front desk is like playing on his phone. He's like, yeah, man, it's cool. Just go through. Doesn't even look up at him wearing this chicken mask. Gets into the locker room, opens the locker up, pulls everything out. One of the mobster guys shows up, hits him on the kicks the ladder out from under him. He falls, drops some of the heroin on the ground, slides. He's like, oh, you're an idiot, ha ha ha. And he's like holding a gun to him. He's like, look at the mess you made. And then he slips on the heroin and shoots himself in the head by accident. And then the dude in the chicken mask is just like, oh my God, someone else just died in front of me. Now what do I do? That's how the book ends. Oh, so wow. This is like this awkward Breaking Bad meets like Steely McBeam.
I thought it was going to be about like the chicken from Family Guy.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's the giant chicken that he always fights with. I was hoping, I guess. That sounds pretty cool what you described, but I feel like the giant chicken from Family Guy would be even cooler.
Yeah. I mean, this is an Aftershock book, and they've been pretty solid for me with weird, almost like borderline crime stories. And this has been pretty much that. So I just love the fact that this dude is just working with a chicken helmet on.
Yeah. we ordered more because we sold out. That's how much buzz there was around the first issue. So we sold out. So we ordered more, and then hopefully our Aftershock rep, Justin McCuga, will maybe have some like ambassador exclusives or something for us. So that'll be cool. We can give away to some Thursday Warriors.
I will reach out to Steve and see if I can get some. So
cool.
But Brian Buccelletto, Is that how you say his last name? He wrote it. The writing's great. Hayden Sherman's art is that's the only thing that I wasn't super sold on was the art, because it gets kind of muddy in places. But I do like it. It works for the story, which is what you want. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for comics. We're now going to go into the segment where we talk about all kinds of things in pop culture. And if you haven't watched certain things, now is your time to get the fuck out of here, because we're going to spoil some shit.
Leave. The exits are get above out. The wings.
Get out. Exits to the left and right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So,
want to do what if first?
Yeah. That's, let's do what that's if. Slightly better.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. I'll just say real quick that the episode before had more of the story, and I was hoping that there was going to be more story to this one, and they just kind of went like lame and just threw a bunch of action in. Not that there wasn't some cool sequences, because there were, but ultimately too, I'm just disappointed in the creativity that people have with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
I guess we should start more towards the beginning. This picks up with.
So everybody I'm just going to say
for a team.
I'm just going to say this show started out as a what if show and it ended up as the Exiles.
Yes.
Like, I was like, really? Really? And instead of calling them the Exiles, like they probably should have, they called them the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Guardians of the Multiverse, yeah.
And I'm just like, really? Because think about if this were like a like if they would have actually been like, we're going to build this into the Exiles, and these are going to be our Exiles, and this is going to be the show that we're going to do next season. The lineup would have been awesome, except for Killmonger. He was such a tool bag, and everybody knew what was coming. As soon as he got on that team, I'm like, are you serious? He's the guy you're going to pull? You're not going to pull Shuri from that? Come on.
Like, yeah, you're going to pull the guy that already backstabbed somebody?
Yeah.
Like Tony Stark? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will also say the highlight of this episode for me, and this is going to sound real stupid, is the beginning, because it's basically Winter Soldier's beginning, and we get some Batroc the Leaper, except that he's fighting Captain Carter.
With better moves, moves than he had in Winter Soldier, and he talks, and he has the French, because the other guy was a UFC fighter, so they're like, yeah, you're not going to get lines, so just chill. But
then, he was also French-Canadian.
Yes, but this guy got lines in this one. Yeah. So I felt like we finally got what we should have got back in Winter Soldier.
Yeah. So I definitely felt it was a slightly better opening to Winter Soldier than the one we got in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But it was almost the same up to the point where she flies down and gets onto the boat. It's almost identical. Mm-hmm. So, but I really enjoyed that part a lot. Other than that, the rest of the team fills out with Brothor.
Before you say the other ones, I just want to say, I get that was Brothor from the Party Thor episode, but I'm so bummed out that Thor is just now known. He's the staple joke of the MCU. If you need a joke, you're going to go to Thor. And I hate it so much, because Thor has so many good stories, and now I can't go into a Thor movie expecting to see the story that, you know, they're pitching in the trailers and stuff. Maybe it'll be different when they do, you know, female Thor. Hopefully it will be, but
doubtful.
They just keep making Thor a joke, and it sucks.
It does. So.
And yeah,
you haven't seen that. You haven't seen that far into it.
No,
right?
We are at a word. I say we were.
You were at the
evil Doctor Strange. We saw the Doctor Strange. Yeah.
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 So. Oh crap! Are we going to spoil this?
No. Oh no. Trust me. We watch TV with a 7-year-old. I'm lucky it's on.
That's fair.
All right. So Ultron grows a gigantic metal rod, and he now has become known as Wangtron, and you're going to love it. It's great.
Just kidding. He's very throbby. I mean, why is he so veiny? No. So the rest of the team is Brothor, Black Panther, but it's Killmonger.
Yep.
Who was the one from the zombie universe?
Wasn't anybody from the zombie until they brought in Wanda.
Oh, right. She shows up.
Yeah. But you had Gamora was on the team.
Yeah. Which was over dumb.
Tony Stark. Well, apparently there was a 10th episode that was supposed to be that whole story with Iron Man and Gamora.
Okay.
So that's why it didn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why they would have cut it. I don't know if they're saving it for a second season or what, but so Gamora, then you've got Captain Carter. They pick up, the last person they pick up is Natasha.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
I think you're right, that might be it. Well, besides evil Doctor Strange. Well, not really evil Doctor Strange, but like sort Strange Supreme or whatever they're calling him.
Yeah. I'm calling him Darker Strange.
Darker Strange.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty accurate. But then it was pretty much as soon as they built the team, it was like 3 minutes of, hey, let's have these magical drinks together and toast to hopefully saving the multiverse, and then that it's just fighting till the end.
The other big bummer was that
T'Challa. We already Star-Lord T'Challa. That's who we forgot.
Oh yeah, Star-Lord T'Challa. That's right. We saw Uatu break his oath the last episode, so I'm not sure why he doesn't join the team after he's already interfered more than he should have. He fought, Ultron, this Supreme Ultron, and now he's put a team together. So I just don't understand why he doesn't just jump in with the team as a member, because he went toe to toe with Ultron in that previous episode. So I feel like he probably could have been in the episode. Would have been cool to see Uatu maybe like get the stones. Somehow would have been kind of fun instead of seeing Killmonger get them, which we all, like you said, we all knew was going to happen.
I love the Arnim Zola, like actual
face yes.
in the chest though.
Yes.
Like that was awesome. And to see how that happens, watch this episode. There were some good parts. It's just, I just felt like it was a little lackluster compared to some of the other episodes, but I think it's just because of the 30-minute format. And it was broken apart into two from the episode before, and some of the characters I just didn't like out of the episodes. Like, I liked some of these characters less than I liked the characters that were actually in the Avengers on the MCU proper. Because those guys, you basically loved every single one of them because of what they did in their whole movie, and you learned to love them. These guys, it really felt like an Exiles thing to me, and I was like, oh man, if Nocturne shows up in this, I'm gonna be super pumped, but it didn't happen. So,
yeah, Captain Carter is I'm excited. I hope she sticks around in some capacity, and then it was cool that what looked like our regular MCU universe, they dropped Black Widow from that barren wasteland that she was in. They dropped her into our universe. So like,
what was the universe?
We got to make up with
Scarlett
Johansson. We got to make up with her before this episode drops, so she can be in that movie.
But she didn't voice her for this entire thing, which is even
weirder,
although Lake Bell did a great job, I will say.
Yeah.
So
I thought for the most part the voice acting was pretty good. I wish James Spader would have been back as Ultron. So
yeah. I thought most of the voice acting was very good. It was a good mix of the actual character people and not.
The guy that did Disney, Ultron did just real quick, the guy that did Ultron did the Red Skull voice in Infinity War.
Yeah, he actually did a couple bummed. Voices on What If.
Yeah.
So
I liked his Red Skull work better.
Yeah, me too. So speaking of Disney Plus, today they've released a thoroughly backed rumor. I don't know if it's been official yet, that you're getting a WandaVision spinoff with Agatha.
Oh, Agatha all along.
Oh, that's cool.
So what a lot of people don't know is in the comics, she actually does become a good guy. Like she becomes like the apprentice of Doctor Strange. So while I think that would be cool, I don't know how it would go live action well, in my opinion. I don't know if it's going to actually translate out. I think Catherine Hahn can carry that character very well. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what they can meld with that to make it really pop. But we'll see.
Just guessing, like right off the top, I'm thinking maybe whatever would happen to Scarlet Witch in or even Doctor Strange in the Doctor Strange movie leaves this void. The spell breaks, and then she, you know, is going to fill that void. That's the cool thing about the shows is, you know, if you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it. You still get the movies, and you're still going to get the basic story, but the shows can flush out these characters more than the movies ever could. So,
Right. You're being too quiet.
I just like listening.
You're such a good listener.
I try.
You don't know, but on the other side of him, there is an IV of beer going straight into his... He's just drunk. It's okay. All right, you know how...
Sorry.
I was just going to our last topic, but go ahead.
I was gonna do that also, but in a creative way. You know how like they hang the flag upside down? And that is to... That means that they're distressed in America... Right. Mm-hmm. If the flag's upside, so I'm going to hold this book upside down because to symbolize the distress that is going on within this movie and within this universe, because this movie was poop. All right. Oh, yeah. There's your intro. Here we go. We're talking about Venom 2, everybody.
Okay. So I thought it was just slightly better than the last one. However, like, my biggest complaints. So Justin Comp and I went to see this together after we were at the gaming convention in Monroeville last week. And like, first off, so it's an hour and a half long, right?
Yeah.
So you would think, okay, cool. There's going to be like 15, maybe minutes of previews. Nope. Full half hour to eat up that time slot to where they could get the next showing right.
Wow.
So I sat through 30 freaking minutes of trailers before the movie.
Oh my god.
So I thought they underused Scream or Shriek a lot. Mm-hmm. Really wish she would have got a
device.
Right. Thought it would have been cool to see her get a symbiote, but I also think that can still happen in the future. The idea that Carnage is in this movie, but yet the only time you really see him make like what you would think about as Carnage, not the character, but the like the noun, the description of Carnage, is literally the time that he turns into Carnage. Like that whole scene is like really, really cool, where he escapes from the jail, the prison scene. That was really cool. And then it's, we're going to be real boring, and now we got to shift focus to Venom and why he doesn't want to be with Eddie Brock anymore, and why he's a whiny little bitch, and then go all the way to the end to the third act. So that whole second act is just that. The third act is, well, let's see if we can recreate the bell tower fight in Spider-Man 3 and only actually eat one guy, which was not the guy you want them to kill, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But we get She Venom again, so that was cool.
That part was cooler to me in this one than it was in the first one, because it was too dark in the first one and you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So it was in the woods, and I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, what is going on? I'm like, oh, she has the symbiote. It's this from the very beginning was just terrible. I mean, they took a movie and they said, hey, this is PG-13, so how do we make Carnage look badass? Oh, I know. Remember all those little jokes that we kind of did with Venom and Eddie in the first one? What if we just overdo it with that in the first half hour so that it's so funny that you're like laughing? So when he flips a car over, you're like, oh my God, he flipped a car. There's so much carnage going on right now. Like, no thanks. Right. That was awful. Venom in a rave. We saw Venom in a rave.
Oh, stupid. Yeah. So again, for the second movie in a row, Venom is near really loud sonic noises and doesn't freak out.
Wow.
Yep.
Nope. First time he's on a motherfucking rocket. Flying on a rocket. The sonic booms should have totally just knocked him out. Nothing. This time he's standing in front of a wall of freaking speakers at a rave. And nothing. Yep. You don't even see him kind of like pulsate like with the bass kicks. Like that'd have been cool.
Oh, that would.
But no, yeah. No, you don't see that. No.
The plot armor is thick.
He cooks him breakfast. He's got his hand down there near some fire on the stove. No big deal. I thought it was really stupid. If they had did it for 2 hours, I would have been more interested in this backstory between Shriek and Cletus Kasady. But they did it in a really cheesy way for this movie. If you remember in Speed Racer, when he's doing the race and they're like, oh my God, Speed's going to break his brother's time. And you kind of see the race going on in the background. And in the foreground is whoever's talking, moving the opposite way of the action. And that's what they did here, except they did it in fucking cartoon. They animated the backstory and it was poop. It just looked like a kid drawing their best impression of anime or some shit. And it was awful. And that was pretty much the first half. I thought too, like you, when he broke out, you know, that was all right. You know, the fight was kind of neat. I thought it was terrible that all the killing kind of happened off screen.
Yeah. But I mean, at least it got the point across of, he killed all those people. I mean, there was no blood, of course, because it was a PG-13 movie, but, you know, and no one got eaten, but whatever.
Yeah.
And how did the Carnage symbiote get so strong right off the bat if he hadn't eaten anything and he came out of a piece of blood? There was a lot of stuff that didn't make any sense. No. Well,
my thought with that was that because the host is, you know, it's amplifying like the nature of the host, you know. And that was one of the things that they missed with Eddie Brock was from right off the bat, you know, Eddie, he just, life is not going his way. And this is all the way back to the first one. And he comes across this symbiote and now he has the power to change his life and do it the way he wants, but also fight back against the people that are being wronged. Also, he just does it in a more evil way. But right off the bat, it's like the symbiote's a separate thing. Eddie's a separate thing. They're never together, even though they're like, oh, we could do this. We're perfect symbiosis. Like, I know you and you know me. And it's like, yeah, but do you? Because every time you guys are the one, we are Venom. You act separately of your best interest.
We are the lethal protector, remember?
Yeah. But, you know, they just act separately of whatever they want for their own best interest. They're never Venom, ever.
Yeah.
So.
I thought they kind of got the anti-hero style of Venom a little bit better in this movie. But I still don't like anything about Eddie Brock. Like, I'm like, you're not Eddie Brock.
No, he's not. Nothing about him is Eddie Brock. He's just a guy that they wrote however they wanted and then named him Eddie Brock.
Yep.
Very so,
distracting.
So we also had okay, good. Sorry. I cut you off last time. Good.
Okay. So we also see the return of Detective Mulligan, Peter Mulligan, yep. who in the comics becomes Toxin. Yep. So there is a scene toward the end where I'm like, did Carnage send off a piece of him to become Toxin? Because that would be cool. But then you cut to the post-credit scene, and I'm like, well, man, may never see that now. So
it doesn't matter at all. But that would have been cool because Toxin's father is Carnage, I believe, in the comic books. I thought it was cool that we got to hear him call Eddie or Venom father.
Yeah.
I thought so he breaks, you know, Shriek out. And Carl pointed out she goes on this joyride. She's like, oh, I always wanted to learn how to drive. I never did. And it's like all of a sudden she's just like a NASCAR driver. and she's just pulling these like sick moves against the cops. They go to the orphanage where they were raised together until they got split up. And he sets the damn building on fire and walks out as Carnage. And I'm like, table not, flip. I'm losing my mind. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe they're changing the rules for him and it won't come into play later. Nope, somebody pours some gasoline on him and sets him on fire. And that did more damage to him than an entire freaking building burning down on top of him. Awful.
Terrible. Okay.
So
then we're going to talk. Now we're going to talk about the post-credit scene. All right.
Let me say real quick. I want to just say the CG in the first one, they masked everything in darkness. And you had a gray symbiote and a black symbiote fighting and you couldn't see shit, right? So now you're like, oh, you're going to get to see Carnage. How did they screw that up? They did this church where half of it was lit in orange and yellow, and that's the half Carnage was on. And the other half was black, and that's the half Venom was on. So you still couldn't see shit. It just fooled people into thinking that you could. And I'm so angry. I think I've misused air quotes like 12 times. So, okay, post-credit scene.
Sorry. I also have to say the line in the church when Venom walks in and goes, oh shit, Eddie, it's a red one. Nope, not coming out. It's a red one. I'm like, really? Really? Yeah. Like, come on.
We saw this with the Hulk. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Wasn't that funny there either. Come on.
and I also hate movies that say the title. When he was like, let there be carnage. I'm like, it's the staple of a bad movie when they say the title.
Yep. Unlike John Carter, Warlord of Mars, they never said Warlord of Mars in there at all. And that movie was very excellent for what it was, actually. All right. So post-credit scene.
Yes.
So it's Eddie escapes to some random island, right?
Yep.
And he's sitting in his hotel room and he's watching the news and
he's watching Spanish soap opera.
Oh, that's right. He's watching Spanish soap opera.
Telenovela.
Right? Yeah. And like they somehow talk about like how the symbiotes are a hive mind, right? So that he can tap into any of the other ones anywhere. And so he's like, okay, so do that. Like he didn't specifically be like, all right, well, let's find out what's going on this thing. It was just, okay, so why don't you do that? He's like, all right. So he does it, and it somehow jams him into the actual MCU, and the TV changes, and it's J. Jonah Jameson doing the whole Spider-Man is Peter Parker thing. So Venom gets up and just licks the screen. It's like, this one. And I'm just like, what? This doesn't make any sense at all.
I can't see blood in this movie, but I can see an alien get off and lick a teenager on the TV screen.
Right.
That's not weird at all.
And then, like, the dude whose actual room it is walks in and is like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Now, the only cool-ish thing that may come out of this is now, if No Way Home works out the way it possibly can now, we may actually have the Sinister Six. Because we now have all three of the original Spider-Man villains from the Tobey Maguire stuff, except we have this Venom instead of the other one, which then makes me go, maybe Topher Grace's Venom suit is the black suit that we see Tobey Maguire in at some point, or it's this Venom suit that we see because he's been more the good guy. And then we see Sandman, we've seen Lizard, and that's...
Well, we got Vulture still is alive.
And Vulture is still alive, yeah.
So we're going past six, and then if somehow...
If you don't count...
Mysterio's alive.
Like,
you know, what if he's alive?
If you consider the... If we just consider both Venoms being one Venom, like one of them is going to be bad, then that would be the six. If Mysterio is actually dead, which we think he is, and then... We get everybody, or Mysterio is alive and the Vulture is just too old to be in the thing because he's Michael Keaton. Nothing against Michael Keaton, but that's actually kind of a cool thing, in my opinion. But how are you going to make that Eddie Brock Venom? How are you going to get that Eddie Brock Venom to be all of a sudden the evil Venom that you need to be in the Sinister Six? That's what I want to know. Or if we get some kind of random team up against the Topher Grace one. I really hope the Topher Grace one beats the shit out of this one.
Well, there's some cool setup with the thought of him licking the screen because he sees something in this Peter Parker. And then my guess would be at some point, if Venom does make it in, he leaves Eddie and goes to Spider-Man. So we may get to see a little bit of that, but when the best part of your movie is that you can say at the end they tied it into the MCU, so hopefully Marvel will fix it, then your movie sucked. Sucked. And I think the Marvel universe is now worse for having these films attached to it, and they did some other crappy ones too. I mean, they've done some ones that we haven't liked. And now they're worse. These are now the worst films in the MCU.
Yep.
Venom 1 and Venom 2.
Automatically the worst films.
Automatically. Yeah. They jumped to being the best films in the Venomverse because they were the only freaking ones to the worst films in the MCU. Congratulations. You wrote yourself into Sucktown. You're awful.
And to be fair, they were... Even if you consider them in the Sonyverse, which would be all five of the Spider-Man movies previous to the MCU, like the non-Tom Holland ones and the Venom ones, they were still the worst movies of those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Electro. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's just bad. And I would also like to point out, I told you this before we came on. A lot of people defend Tom Hardy. He's a great actor. He's doing the best. Well, he might be a great actor, but he's a shitty writer because he co-wrote this movie. And I watched an interview with him in his stupid British accent talking about how much he cares about this character and then talking about the odd couple kind of thing that they were going to do. And I'm like, right there, that tells me you don't even understand this character. Yep. You don't get it at all. You're just making shit up. So they can all fart.
When Donnie Cates' tweet was, this was the best part of this movie, and it was his name in the credits, I was like, wow.
Yeah, Ryan Stegman did the same thing.
Yep. Oh, man. It was such a disaster. I didn't really like the first one either. Like, I think I gave the first one like 1.5 stars. I think I would give this one two. Like,
I would give the first one like a C because I think there was some good elements to it and it tapped into the cheesy 90-ness of the movie.
Yeah.
But this movie is all over the place, and they just can't seem to figure out where they're going, even though maybe it's because Shriek's driving and she figured out how to drive before she figured out how to read road signs. I don't know. That's why you don't let, never mind. I won't make a female driver joke. It's so bad.
It's rough. I will say though, I liked Woody Harrelson as Cassidy when he was Cassidy.
There was other parts where he did the weird Woody Harrelson faces with like the jaw that were a little weird, but there were parts that he did a pretty decent job him. I think that they suffered from too many characters because you had the lady at the store who was, you know,
well, you had to bring back everybody from the first movie.
Yeah, you had to bring back Dan. They had to bring him back. I don't know why. I mean, we wasted a half hour on a rave, cooking breakfast, and Venom talking in Eddie's head while he found out that his girl was engaged.
So this is what happens when you let Gollum direct a movie.
Yeah. You know why they brought him in. They brought him in for the CG work, for the you know, motion capture. That was the only reason they brought him in. So, and the CG wasn't even that great. I mean, it looked better in parts, but there was parts that were bright that it looked very bad, like unfinished CG. That'll be the thing that I'm the most interested to see is when you take Venom from this dark universe that he's in and you put him in this very kind of like almost bubblegum popish Spider-Man universe that Tom Holland has, that's very bright and vibrant. What will that suit look like? What will Venom look like? Because if they leave it with that, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. But my guess is they're going to let Marvel fix it as they should.
And are we now going to have Venom hopping those multiverses the same way that Peter's going to? And is this pre or is Venom coming to that universe pre or post the whatever the spell Doctor Strange does? And curiously, if we set it up with the last episodes or the last two episodes of like WandaVision or Loki, will that part line up with the other two? Like if you put them both as like an hour and a half long thing, or is if the last episode's long enough, will it line up to where they're like multiverse cracking Nexus things that happened? Will it line up with those?
The moment where you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Because
that would be that would be cool if it did that, to be like, oh, this is just another Nexus event, but it's also, why are we wasting our time bringing this not awesome Venom into the MCU and we could bring a much better Venom in?
Yeah. Maybe that happens. Maybe when they get over here, the symbiote leaves Eddie and then Doctor Strange is like, whoa, you're not supposed to be here, and then pushes Eddie back through, and then the symbiote's like, oh, you forgot me, and now the symbiote stays here and finds that Earth's Eddie, and they're like, oh, we can start over, we don't have to use Tom Hardy anymore.
What if, now here's my better theory, or at least a slightly better theory. What if this is a way to autocorrect Eddie Brock into being the a-hole we want him to be? So the Venom symbiote leaves him, sticks on Peter. He's pissed because now it's him and he's back to being a nobody. He's screwed and eventually finds a way to get that Venom suit back. And that's where he becomes like the Venom we want him to always be. And then it also has the Peter Spidey powers where he can then start slinging from the rooftops as Venom. So maybe that's how they're going to kind of auto-correct some things. Auto-tune.
Yeah. They're going to auto-tune it. And then Venom's going to go to that rave also.
Yes. And he's going to sing Believe. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Or some T-Pain. He's going to sing some T-Pain. Do you believe in life after love? By the way, if you guys haven't watched This Is Pop, there's a great episode that's all about auto-tune on there, and it's awesome to watch. It's on Netflix. Check it out if you're into very interesting, awkward documentaries. This one's literally about the rise and fall of auto-tune and how it was a thing for a long time. And then all of a sudden T-Pain made it like huge and like, it was awesome. You should totally check it out. So there's also another good one about how Sweden writes the best songs. So, but
they do.
Cool. All right. I think that's about it. Next week, we have cosplay karaoke. So it's probably going to be an off week unless Tim and I decide to do it a little earlier in the day. We'll let you know, but, if not, and you want to come down to cosplay karaoke, I think it starts at 7 or 7:30. It's $5 to come in. All that money goes to the Heroes Initiative. It's $10 if you want to sing, and it's a whole lot of fun. It's horror themed, so wear your Venom masks and come be a better Venom.
If you come dressed as Venom and you sing Share Believe, I will buy you 1 month of Disney Plus. Whoever comes as Venom, the first person. So if multiple people come, sorry to the crowd, but it's just to the first person that comes as Venom and sings Believe.
All right. So, I got to tell you something really funny. I haven't even told you this. So when Justin and I got out of the theater, and I was saying like how we were going to talk about this on the podcast, he goes, "Do you want me to randomly come on in my Venom mask, not tell you or you?" And he could be like, "What's that, John? No, it's not like that at all. We're the Lethal Protector."
He should have done it. It would have been the best. That would have been awesome.
So anytime we want to get Venom's perspective, he has a full on Venom mask and he is willing to do,
whole segment called Venom Says.
Oh.
And it just cuts to Venom for some kind of G.I. Joe type advice. Yes. That's always about eating
steak
brains.
Steak sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah. Ron said he'll fill in next week if you want him to. Ron likes to be on the show. I know he does.
I don't know. It's okay to have a break week every once in a while, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then we have a bonus episode coming up potentially at the end of the month that we will have more information on at the next episode.
Yeah. No, I think I think it's set. It's October 31st, 2 p.m.
Cool. Other option we may have, if you're down for it, is Saturday night after the first night of the show, we could do a live. We could do the show from your store after the first day of the con and just do it on Saturday night if everybody would be down with that. It'd be like at 8 o'clock, probably 9 o'clock.
Could give it a shot if I'm not like dead tired.
Okay.
I might be like super drenched in sweat, but we'll see. We can try it.
Yeah, we'll see. So. Maybe we'll put up a poll on the Facebook page about if it's you guys prefer a skip week, an early one at like say 4 o'clock, or a late night Saturday night post con one with probably drunk Todd. So most likely, and I'm not talking like drunk like he was on our show when we had him on, because he was kind of drunk. I'm talking like shwasted Todd. Like the Todd where you're not going to even understand what he's talking about, which is also hilarious, by the way.
Isn't that redundant to just say drunk Todd?
Right.
You just say Todd. Oh,
he sent me a photo today from the beach because you know, he's coming back from Florida next week. And he had taken one of his now buying now comic signs and just stuck it on the beach and said today only underneath it. And I said, yeah, let me know how that goes for you. And he just goes, I've had one collection lead and then the cops yelled at me.
Oh, wow.
And he said, but the cops were cool about it after they realized it was only going to be one day.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's funny. A crazy man. He's a madman. Madman with a beer. So, yep. All right, guys. Thanks so much, our Thursday Warriors.
Thursday Warriors.
Every week. Don't forget to comment, like, share. What was the other thing? Hit the bell.
Hit that bell so you get notified when the new episodes come on. But we're getting closer. I think we're like 16 or 17 away from 100.
16, and then we have some cool stuff planned. Yep. We gained six last week. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah. We're awesome. We're a big deal. We're kind of a big deal. So
we're kind of big. This is the Tim that's kind of a big deal.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal, Tim. Not so much of a big deal, John. Right. All right, guys. Have a great week. We'll catch you at the stores. Well, I mean, you're taller than me, so you're a big deal there. So
okay.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.